Well, again, Merry Christmas to all of you. It's good to see all our friends and visitors with us this morning. I think Christmas, as I mentioned at the beginning of service, has tended to become the Christmas Eve. And Christmas Day is sort of, well, now it's all over. That's how people sort of see it. In fact, probably after noon today, all the Christmas songs on one of the stations will end, and they'll go right back to the normal broadcasting. Forgetting that there's 12 days of Christmas now start. We tend to put so much emphasis on the preparation of Christmas, and it's become almost Christmas has almost become a time of overindulging, and an excuse to overindulge, actually. And we kind of overindulge in our own greediness, too, in it. It becomes a time about the gifts, and we know that, because all I have to do is remember there was Black Friday and Cyber Monday and all those days. So we tend to push Christmas into it's a little box of stuff. And we forget, or at least we're pushed to forget, what this day is really all about. To me, it's one of the two most important days of the church year. Because this is the day that we remember that God had done something great and wonderful for us. He sent his Son into our flesh to take what we couldn't do and to take it and do it completely for each and every one of us. Mankind was unable to live the way God commanded us to live. When we sinned in the garden, we lost all knowledge of God. We became darkness. And what John writes in his gospel, he tells us exactly what God was planning to do even before he created the world. Again, listen to the words. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. He's talking about Jesus, the very Jesus he walked this earth with, the very Jesus he sat next to at the table where he gave his final supper, the very same Savior that he saw nailed on the cross. He knew that this person, Jesus, was the very living Word that brought this world into being. And he wrote these words down, as he says, so that we might believe in him and have life. Jesus came into this world, the creator of this world, to save it because we had fallen away from him. He could have left us go off on his own, but because God is love, he came to you and to me to do exactly what he wanted to do, a plan set in motion even before the world was made. John goes on to write, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. God is life. That is the only place that we get life from. We think we pass it on in our normal biological manner, but it's still God who has given life to each and every one of us. And the life that is God is different from the life that we know on earth. The life that is God is knowing him, living like him, loving as he loves us. That's the kind of life he wants to give to each and every one of us. Otherwise, life on this earth is just scrabbling around for what I want and doing what I need. And then when it all comes to an end, we're left alone. Because what hell, what eternal damnation is all about is not having that life, not being with God himself, but rather being on our own, thinking I can be my own little God. And in hell you will be. And no one is going to worship you, no one's going to care about you because everybody else thinks they're their own little God. But with the life of God, you will be more like him. You will love like him. You will know what he knows as far as how to care for one another and to be cared for. It's a fantastic life that we are looking forward to, and that's the one he wants to give to you. through the incarnation, through sending Jesus into the flesh and blood to live for you so that you don't have to be perfect here, because you can't. Jesus did that for you. The light shines in the darkness. In him was life, and the light was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness have not overcome it. The darkness is sin. The darkness is rebellion against God. Walking away from him, not seeing anything but themselves. Not knowing anything out there but myself. When you walk around in the dark, you don't see what's out there. You don't care. You just know, I'll take care of myself. That's the darkness of sin. And Jesus comes in as light. The light of showing and giving of himself to everyone. One of the classes that I taught many times in the past is shows a description of God as a circle with four arrows coming out of it. The idea that God is nothing but give, nothing but love, nothing but caring for others, looking outward, never looking inward. And sin is a circle, a person with an arrow going out and coming right back to yourself. That's the darkness. We care about ourselves only. But God comes and he cares about you. That's the Jesus that we know, the light of the world who's come in. And that darkness cannot end it. No darkness can stop the light of Christ. And that darkness that we had has been lit by the force, by the power of Christ coming into you, forgiving your sins, making you his own. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world, John continues. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. John knows that as an experienced, as one of his disciples and later the apostle. Because as Jesus went walking in through his own world, people rejected him. In fact, that still goes on today. People still see Christmas as just a time to pound on Christianity, pound on Jesus. In fact, I just saw, just yesterday, there was an advertisement. It's in another country, by a post office. And the post office is set in ancient Jerusalem, ancient Bethlehem. And here comes the postman riding on his donkey, giving out all the mail. And he comes up to Mary's house, gives her the mail. He looks at her with a gleam in his eye. 9 months later, the child's born. The idea, they trying to cause disrespect to the Christian faith, but primarily to Jesus himself. That's what the world wants to do. Jesus comes in, the creator of the world. He wants to save his world, and the world says, we don't want anything to do with you. Go away. We're happy the way we are. We like living in the dark. He came to his own people, and his own people did not receive him. And we remember that, especially when people reject him, especially on Good Friday, when they say, we have no king but Caesar. That's what our God suffered. The very Lord who comes and gives you life, who wants to save you, who loves you so much that he'll give up his life for you. He cares about you that much. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Jesus even says in the Gospel of John, you must be born from above, born from God. Jesus was born from God. He brought life with him. And when we are born from God through the power of the Holy Spirit, through baptism, through the hearing of the word, through hearing and having faith created in us through the sacraments, we see that God is giving to you what you need. You are being given life. You are being born again by the power of God in you. And the word became flesh and dwelt among us. And this is one of the greatest things that God has done, that he comes in person. He doesn't stand off in heaven sending us down a list of rules and commandments saying, this is how you live, and then you can come and live with me. You have to be perfect. He says, no, instead, I'm going to come. I will live under my own rules. I will live in the flesh that you have, and I will carry out all my commandments, and I will do them perfectly for you. He lives for you. And then because we are sinners and we deserve the punishment for our sins, he says, I'll take that punishment too. And in his flesh, he suffers and he dies so that your flesh, as well as your soul, may be redeemed and live eternally. That's the wonderful day that this is all about. We remember, yes, Jesus had to come to die, but he came to die so that you can live, so that you can have eternal life, so that you can have the light in you, so that darkness in you can be swept away, so that you can have the life of God and an eternal life at that. I don't know if anybody really knows this or not. It's not necessarily I make it a big habit of telling people my likes and dislikes, but the hymn we sang before the sermon has come to be my favorite, most favorite of the Christmas hymns around. In the last 10 years, I'd say, I have just, well, maybe 12 years, I have just come to love this hymn, and I've listened to it probably 10,000 times, and I've listened to what people are talking about it and explaining it. So I'm going to tell a little bit about it myself. Of the Father's Love Begotten, it's one of the earliest Christian hymns. It was made somewhere, written somewhere around 300-400 AD by a man named Aurelius Prudentius Clemens, a Roman citizen. He lived in Spain, what we would call Spain now. And later in life, he became a Christian writer, hymn writer, an apologist. And he wrote this wonderful hymn, partly based on John chapter 1, of the Father's love begotten, telling us this is where this love comes from, begotten of this Father from the, through the Son. Before the world began, he tells us, this is what God had in mind for us all. Jesus is the Alpha and Omega. He's the first and the last. History starts with him. History will end with him. He created us, and that's our goal, is to be with him. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the source of life, and that's where life is headed towards. And then he reminds us of the things that were made. This little baby lying in a manger, of all the things that were made, that will be, have been made, and will be made in the future, he did it. The second person of creation, right in that one little child. And that little child grew up to be a man. And that man is now seated at the right hand of God. Of this birth, forever blessed, when the Virgin, full of grace, by the Holy Spirit conceiving, bore the Savior of her race. And the babe, the world's Redeemer, first revealed his sacred face. That's where Jesus shows us God. When you look at Jesus' face, you see the face of God. God in flesh, walking, talking with people. No longer sitting on the mountain of Sinai with the thunder and the lightning scaring the Israelites. Now he walks among them, offering forgiveness, calling them to be his own. He's calling to you still today. This is the one whom seers in old time chanted of with one accord, whom the voices of the prophets promised in their faithful word. The Old Testament looks forward to Jesus. Jesus said, the Bible is all about me. It talks about me. It points you to me. It sets the stage so that when I come into this world, you will know that it is I, God himself, who has come to save you. The prophets set us up so we could see that. And now he shines, the long expected. And what do? Let creation, that's us, praise the Lord. And then besides creation, the fourth stanza goes, O ye heights of heaven, adore him, as they did at that first Christmas when the angels sang glory to God in the highest. Angel host his praises sing, and then powers, dominions bow before him. and extol our God and King. Let no tongue on earth be silent. He's talking about us. Every voice in concert ring. And then the final verse, the doxology. Christ to thee with God the Father and O Holy Ghost to thee. Hymn and chant and high thanksgiving and unending praises be. Honor, glory, and dominion and eternal victory evermore and evermore. That's what Christmas is about. That Lord who loved you so much, who put on our frail flesh and blood, who came to live the life you couldn't and came to die the death you should, who gave up everything so that you can have the light of life, God's life in you, eternal life. That's the Christ we adore today. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, amen.